Welcome to Talking Dad, a podcast about planning. Anthony is not here. He has ants?
Anthony has ants in his apartment
Classic,
right now.
Classic.
Really? Yeah. So he's dealing with the exterminator.
He has a
I
whole thing.
I have ants in our house all the time, but because I live in such squalor, they're just there.
Wow. Just I have ants.
Love
I was
that.
Trying to do it.
Love it. That's a good one.
So this week we had a little bit of a gear shift. This week we were like prepping a little bit for where the end game is. And just to give everyone a little bit of a peek behind the scenes, it's made scheduling a little bit difficult because we're like, we're not quite sure how much planning we're going to be doing. We're thinking maybe two episodes worth. It might be to begin. I don't know. We don't know what the next episode is.
I'm getting nervous. I started the facts of the seven deadly sins. I'm like, do we have four more episodes left or do we have one more episode left?
This is one of the weird things about this format, which is yes, that like when the X-Files is like, we're going to wrap this up. We're going to take Old Yeller out back. They know how many episodes they have left, right? And they can plan.
Yeah, they
but
can
it
plan
is like,
it.
We could that.
If you told me there were three episodes left or 14 episodes left, either one would be the same.
Yeah, I buy either one. Yeah. I do think that whatever the last battle is not going to be a one episode thing.
Anthony claimed, but you know, we've seen how his plans work out usually. He said that he thought once we got to the end battle, it's like two or three episodes, like, because it's not just gonna be like we swing a sword and we fight a boss.
Yeah,
I mean, that's how I feel now constantly going into this mm-hmm. service section, because it's like we know how many times we've fucked with like things that Anthony might have spent a long ass time toiling
That's
over.
True.
And like Anthony's way fucking smarter than we are. So like, I don't know if we can sort of magician our way into Anthony's mind to surprise him and the audience and make it all work.
Was one of the first times the four of us have been talking. And I don't want to give away like some of our plans, even though they may never, there's some plans that may never come to fruition. And that's
true.
We
can we'll talk about those in the post-mortem.
We have some plans that involve some pretty wild, you know, let's just say technologies involved. Like, we got some good plans.
Plans that don't just get implemented by us rolling some dice and talking.
Yeah, like some plans.
More complicated logistical plans.
Basically, like real world questionable plans.
Yes.
But even now, I felt like this episode, we already are like, oh shit, we already didn't do as much as I wanted to get done.
There's a mix, I think, because we had talked prior to this episode, we had met a couple of times just to kind of get a sense of like, hey, what are we thinking?
Yeah.
And almost in the same way a DM could just collect their thoughts, we as the players needed to collect our thoughts. So we have a little side Discord chat where Anthony's not a part of, where
we've done in-person meetings.
The thing we want to do, it's so good and so crazy, and I really, really, really hope we get to do it.
Yeah,
but it is like so many things have to go right for us to be able to pull it off, and that's what scares the shit out of me.
And
right
we
now.
Didn't do the first step this episode. That's the thing. That's what I meant. Yeah. The one big thing we want to do, which like, it's so good that I don't even care if we end up succeeding. We just need to attempt it because it's so good.
Yeah.
If we can at least attempt it, it's gonna be fine.
Before we continue, I just want to throw this out here to our dear listeners.
Uh-huh.
Hey, folks, don't bother trying to suss it out amongst yourselves.
Oh,
I'm just telling you right
not.
Now. Because no, it's not even that. It's not even that. I know that the tendency right now is going to be for you to go into the comments and be like, oh, what do you think? It's going to be back and forth. Like, just trust me on this. Don't do that. Just don't. Because there's only two things that's
going to be better.
There's only two things that's going to happen. Either you're going to get a great idea and then you're going to think that's going to be it and it's not going to happen. So you're going to be disappointed. There's only one way out. It's only going to be disappointing for you. So just like lean back.
Think if I called what we were doing in the comments, I would feel good about that until I died.
We need a little bit of cover.
I don't think it's wrong
bringing
to try.
You, no, because we're bringing you into our circle of trust right now, listeners.
No, because we're not going to tell them anything.
No, I know, but if they guess a bunch of stuff based on like, well, oh, but someone said so.
I don't
just
give
don't
a shit,
overanalyze.
I'm, right now, I'm like, this is like when the same.
They're going
like,
to guess 60 things.
I honestly don't read stuff like predictions because I know it's just going to make me feel bad about myself for not coming up with something.
It's like Anthony wouldn't know that the guess is like the right one unless
Anthony's never going to guess that we're going to call in the characters from the Star Wars show to show.
What?
Okay, wait, bear with me.
Okay,
we have not. Okay, I said we weren't going to plan during this, but okay, bear with me.
He made the Star Wars thing.
Is there something to do with Glenn getting the alien? Because Glenn
be
did
dope.
Meet an alien.
But the alien's in our universe. Star Wars is our
but
universe.
But they don't have to be. Then alien does not have to be in our universe.
I'm just saying
what
that
if
he
Glenn...
didn't bring in the Jabba the Hutt kid.
What if Grimmel the Hutt comes Grimmel. Through the portal in an X-Wing?
I don't even need it to be somebody from the miniseries. Just the idea of having an alien on our side sounds
That's
pretty
true.
Clutch.
Also, do we really want to force people to listen to all that?
Also, okay.
Not that I don't like it.
I was just thinking about this. I had very similar thoughts and fears when we were going into the Walter Payton one shot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, spoilers for the Walter Payton one shot. where the whole crux of our enjoyment was getting Anthony to not realize he was talking to Cheezoid, mm-hmm. and that, or that the machine thing was Cheezoid, and then realizing it and then being mad but also feeling fulfilled. And it's kind of like somewhat similar to what we're
doing.
You're
right. We played Anthony like a fiddle.
Yeah,
that.
But you know, here's the difference is that in the other time, we were in control.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, so it's like you're fucking with somebody's mind, like on purpose, just to sort of make the best story, and then you're not even sure when they're fucking with your mind back. It's just like hard.
This is what Anthony goes through, I think.
What did you guys think of this episode?
So this is a slightly longer episode, but I think that as a player / listener for a lot of it, I had the most fun listening to this episode.
This is a very fun one. It's been a real feels trip on the podcast lately, and this feels like the first like pure goofs episode in quite a while, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. I thought it was fun.
It was the perfect combination of kind of like the Ron one in terms of like, there's times where I just got to sit back and watch YouTube be funny because it's like, oh, I'm not in this scene. Like, this is Will being funny. This is Freddie being funny. And then one, I don't think we've ever had like a Ron Daryl bit before.
No,
just
that's
like
cool.
The two of us. And not then it was just that. A scene where I didn't have to stress out about like, oh, how's Grant feeling? It was just like, it's gotta be fun. So yeah, I thought it was a really fun episode to play. Like, I just had a good time in it.
This is the first episode where you see like the results of some of our planning and how we're like trying to make it come off as improv to Anthony without like, so it's like the fire festival thing. So it's like, we all talked about the fire festival and knew that that was coming up. And that's
true. We got some stuff done. Yeah. I take it back.
I don't know. I was pretty shocked by how hard everything was like already.
You're right. We did brainstorm the whole fire festival thing. And that's we're starting that right now.
Yeah. And actually we were able to sort of at least bring up some of the potential problems with that because it's like, are we doing the fire festival to distract people or to make them angry?
My sense was always it was just both.
Yeah. Okay. But that, I mean, I don't know. I think the story-wise, we need to be more specific, but this is not a story.
So. No,
it's a D&D podcast.
No, I don't think so. Because the point is, because on Anthony's end, it's going to be up to him if it's enough to be distractions, right? For the pieces he has at play, right?
Like, but in straight up like acting terms, like what is our motivation? What are we trying to do? Our objective?
Are we risking people's lives on purpose? Or are we thinking that this
I feel like Henry's uncomfortable with the idea of this being like that we're going to then send a bunch of unarmed people to go attack Willie or something.
That's true. The fact that we all think it's safe, but Glenn's like, oh no, we're gonna sacrifice all these people.
Well, no, because I would say two things. Number one, if you decide to riot over something,
it's my fault.
No. My point is, we've already illustrated that it's a fantasy world where people—it's a violent, crazy. It's not our world, period. Right? To me, like, there's already a little bit of
tread softly.
It's a wilder place, and that's like part of it. To me, this is a world where you have child fighting ring.
It's not about whether the world is crazy. It's about what are the dads willing to do.
I'm playing it as Glenn.
Yeah, that's fair. No,
Glenn is willing to burn the world down as far as he's
that's
concerned.
Fair. I think that's good.
What does he have to...
And
what does
I don't
he
think
have?
Ron would have the foresight to know that that would happen.
I think Daryl's just kind of like, you know, goes along with it and assumes that it's like, yeah, people are going to die. Like, yeah, Glenn's got it under control. Like, yeah, I've never heard of this fire festival thing. Like,
what you're saying is Henry's going to derail the adventure once again.
I think at a point, again, to me, it always made a weird sort of logic where it's like, if you're going to do whatever, like the first Wonder Woman movie, if you're going to like invade or try to sneak into like the plant where they're building nuclear or chemical weapons, like if you could also set up like the biggest rave ever around that, that'd probably help. Like,
and also it's pretty well established that as far as like bad dudes in this universe, the Omega dads are at the top of that heap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that you kill a bunch of innocent people to like stop them.
Where are you getting that? You're saying we are going to kill a bunch of innocent people.
The way Anthony heard it was like, are we planning to create this fire festival to
get a bunch of people pissed off and then unleash them as an army on the...
My concise pitch for this is to build the fire festival away, like a far stage at a Lollapalooza, if you will, but still within, you know, a quick shot from the portal battle where we can send a lot of their army there, where they will presumably maybe get mad and then want to come after the Omega Daddies.
I think it's
now,
where they want to fight, they can fight.
Which is how it's going
to
play
out. I think it's good that we're doing this now. That way we don't have to do this during the episode. It'd be boring.
discuss the moral
ramifications.
But I mean, I'm playing it as Glenn right now. And as far as I'm concerned, Glenn's mindset is this world took everything away from him. He's not quite even sure if he wants to go back, but he's in a burn it all down kind of mood.
Yeah.
So what does Glenn want to have happen with the fire festival?
He wants to cause as much mayhem as possible, I think.
That's to what end?
To get back at his dad.
To help us fight the dads.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I mean, it's also, sorry not to be Glenn for a second, but I think like there's also the party element.
There's a rock and roll fuck it element to it. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I also think that like Glenn is somebody who, had he gotten tickets somehow to the actual Firefest, he could have been like one of the only people having a fucking blast with those cheese sandwiches and those FEMA tents. Like, he could have found a way.
And like, to Glenn's point, like, this is a world where the first people we met were just like kicking the shit out of a dragon, and like pretty much everybody's pretty horrible. I mean, I think to the point, it's like, yes, we don't plan the Fire Festival to fight the Omega Daddies, but the Omega Daddies have like all these mercenaries and stuff.
It depends on where you are in this sort of moral thing. And it's like, no, I'm playing Glenn as like Wilder. I'm playing Glenn as like someone who is a little morally looser. It's always been the case from the beginning. And I think it's fine that there's differences amongst the dads.
Well, yeah.
So, but here's the thing though, because again, Henry's a big tight ass, right? So now, like, as the four of us, I want to come up with the plan to beat Anthony. But then as Henry, as the character, I don't know that he's going to agree with what Glenn wants to do necessarily.
So we beat up Henry.
Yeah, we could kill Henry.
Chad can cut this out if it's too spoilery. But like, I don't think that this is going to happen. But this is another interesting thing that definitely we were talking about with the Fire Festival, was having like homunculus versions of us on stage to specifically distract people to maybe attack those people us.
Yeah, and help the subversion. Like, again, it's more about like a big, like, I think it's less like making an army than like maybe, you know, there's a lot of things we got to overcome with the Omega Daddies, and part of it is their security force. And like, let's just, even if like a third of their security force has to leave their base to like go do some cop stuff and arrest people and away. That's, like, that's helpful.
The kind of way I've been thinking about it.
And it's like such a big fuck you if we can nail like a homunculus and trick somebody into thinking that that's us, because, you know, all of our Omega Daddies have been doing that in one form. Like, even when they didn't really have to, you know, it's like Willie could have been there in the cabin thing. Like, he could have shown up. He didn't have to make it an email. And it's just like,
there's a difference, by the way, in the fact that it's being framed as the Fire Festival, because the Fire Festival, no one actually died.
Anthony's going to try to fucking get, like, he's going to make a consequence for what we do. Also, like, Glenn can always decide to get it rowdy and not fucking ask for the group's permission. Like, if things are going rowdy in a fight.
It's happened in the past. By the way, this is the one trope that hasn't happened yet, which is, we didn't have our Avengers Civil War. We haven't had our Tony Stark versus...
Ooh. You know what? You point out a thing, which we all have the same goal, and this is the first time where one of the dads may not have the same goal as us. Not only do you not have a son to save, but you're not even sure if you want to come back.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Some interesting energy in that gumbo.
What would you do if fucking Freddy was talking to Anthony this whole time?
I promise you,
and
I'm not.
Glenn, oh my God.
Freddy is a fucking double agent.
I promise you.
And Glenn's
you
already deciding. That'd be so, so fucking next level. Like, the thing that we plan on,
holy,
this will make no sense,
shit,
but we planned a thing that Freddy would definitely be the one to do it. And then if we did it, but instead it was to trick us instead.
Anyway. Double agent in your own podcast.
Right. I did want to bring up that, because it's like, these are the episodes where you're going to see us like pretending to have come up with something on the spot when we have actually really talked about it.
And I will say, by the way, there are things that do happen there, right? For example, the idea of bringing on the parents to be interns as well, that's on the spot. Like, there's still elements.
So, well,
yeah,
no,
to break down this episode, just
the show has been scripted from the beginning.
But to your point, but it's not that we're lying. Like, plenty of times we've like had to re-record things or like say things or whatever. But no, this is different, because it's not like this is inauthentic. This is different in that we are lying to Anthony. Like, we are trying to play it safe.
We're trying to be like realistic bad improvisers to Anthony. Like,
so, yes, just to sort of pull back the curtain a little bit, before this episode, we came up with, we were like, it would be cool to bring Doug back and to have Doug give us a boost on our roles. That was a thing.
Which made sense to us.
We were also like, Henry's going to go talk to Autumn and try to get the crab mac.
But we were also like, and let's get everything. And then, of course, Anthony showed up and it was like, everything is on.
Already the bad guy.
Yeah.
And then we were like, oh, let's do this Fire Festival thing, because that seems like fun. And then, you know, but I don't think we really ironed out what we want to do with it.
It was interesting to me, even listening to this episode, you know, me trying to pretend like I was like on board for this thing that I had just thought of or something, you know.
So yes, it's a bit of a loosey-goosey get stuff on the table that we're trying to do. And then again, we have our 2000 IQ play that I guess we'll probably have to start building next week.
Yes. But so, also, it's like a light touch, like literally like magic, where you're just trying not to draw
misdirect Anthony. And I will tell Anthony that he shouldn't listen to this episode specifically. He can listen to it after the season is done.
The only thing I'm confident in is that I think our plan will be kind of obvious once we start executing it, but the final, the prestige, if you will, the final trick is so far left field that I'm confident that Anthony will never guess.
Fucking because it's like
outside the realms of what you would think we would
do. So that's a little bit about kind of what's been going on behind the scenes. I just want to ask you guys, what were your favorite parts of this episode?
I mean, the Ron Daryl bonanza at the end was just, I think, one of the best scenes in the show. I also like the apology scene is so fucking funny. Like, Beth is hysterical as always, but like, I feel like you've become an incredibly good improviser. Like, especially the last couple episodes, like you find these moments.
You're sleeping on Matt. Matt's always been good.
Incredibly character specific to Daryl. But then, like, to set up Beth for that scene, I thought was hysterical. Like, to just be like, the meta level of Beth being the one who has to apologize for sexism.
I was laughing so hard. That just tickled me to no end. I was just fucking losing it, the idea of having to apologize as Ron for being sexist. Oh, my God.
That was my favorite.
Yeah, I will be stepping away from social media.
It was so fucking funny.
I think Freddie cut this down a little bit, so you'll see it in the uncut. But like Matt, like does no butt like three times in a row to me to antagonize me
at the very top.
So funny. I can't remember exactly what it was, but literally like you just kept interrupting my beat to like pull the rug out from under me. It was really funny. Like it was done in a way that was actually like super fun. And you hear a little bit of it because like when you do the like Henry, why are you in that tree? You hear me break, but like you don't see the setup of that, which was just Matt just antagonizing me.
Matt also had the minority.
Harry was at the very beginning.
Oh, God.
That's an insight into just how my brain works. I wasn't really trying to be funny. That's just like my brain short-circuited like a computer. I was like I don't say a sentence. I just say minority report. My brain's broken.
It's a truly strange joke. It's a strange joke because it's not a joke, but everybody knows what it was funny about it, even though it's two words that don't make any sense.
I don't remember the jokes, but specifically because a lot of I can't help but think about stuff like visually, like a movie or whatever. I think my favorite visual of the whole thing, Henry and your mom and the kids and the crab, like going to the forest.
Oh, like inside the cockpit. Like, thinking trying that visual. To,
Again, I haven't listened to it, so I forget like what was said there, but I just remember enjoying that whole scene. And like, I'm a sucker for those sort of like dysfunctional family with a big crab like walking through the forest. I remember just thinking like, oh yeah, if this was ever be made into like a movie or a cartoon, that's the thing.
Anthony doing whenever Lark and Sparrow are super excited about something dangerous is always fun. And like he has a specific image in this, which is that they just start crawling towards Henry. Like they're so supplicant that they just pancake onto the ground. And it's like something my dog does when he really wants something. So it just cracked me up. It was just, I thought that was very funny.
Oh my God, Anthony making dogs' parents like fun. I just can't even. Oh my God.
Making them parents of what?
Just like these go-getters that are super kind and welcome us in. That was like 40 chess. Well, that was incredible.
That's actually, Anthony is like the backdrop to everything that happens. That I'm like, oh yeah, that was a great Matt Beth scene, but Anthony is absolutely throwing fastballs that whole time too. Like, but like, it's like the way all three of you just clocked in immediately to the joke.
Yeah.
And Anthony just like immediately being like, oh no, they don't know Doug is dead. It's like such a fun.
For me specifically, it was Matt as Daryl's talking to Ron in a sidebar being like, you're not gonna judge me for this, right? You're like, where's he gonna go?
God.
And then Matt pivoting to, we just need, you know, anything that he has, like maybe a lot of his DNA on. And then the episode said 1-2 punch because he starts with like anything he slept in, maybe, you know, or teddy bear that he has a lot of teeth. But then Matt throws in toothbrush at the last minute.
As I'm leaving, he's
like, I'm just gonna grab his toothbrush. He never brings up toothbrush prior to that moment. It's so funny.
That's a good one too, because it's like the easy way for Anthony to take that would be to have the parents get really suspicious. Right?
Yes,
that is so much more fun than, oh yeah, of course, take whatever.
Oh God.
Such a funny beat.
Will saying curriculum
vitae.
Is there a family crest? Jesus.
Also, Freddie, I like that the music Glenn sings under himself in the intro
is one of our ad music. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's an acapella version of the whole.
I thought that intro, Freddie, was super like, it was just like very precise of like,
if you've ever had to do a podcast ad read, you're getting tickled pink. But if you haven't, you're like, what is this mediocre intro?
Yeah, I thought it was incredibly specific and really good. Yeah.
I never thought of like Ron and Daryl like post this, but now I'm like, oh, Daryl definitely is like, Ron's my key to having like, maybe I can actually get a microbrew business if I can go and sleep with Ron. Like, I think Daryl's gonna be like, you know, maybe Ron's the one.
By the way, I do canonically, I'm now like, yes, Ron is the guy that runs canistream.com. Is 100% what I think Ron's business is.
I think that may be one of many businesses that Ron has going on.
Yeah.
That he is like, he became like a 49% partner in somehow. And he just like,
Ron does that and the like, call my cell phone website.
I think Ron owns like Just Watch because it's like way better than all of those. But I don't think he thought it was like a TV watch. So he was just he's like, you sell watches.
People like watches.
Yeah.
That's very good. Very good. Very good. Got some listener questions here, folks. Noelle asks, how do you recover from a devastating D's Nuts experience? I was just on the receiving end of my first nut from a friend I made on this Discord. Don't say that. At least it was his first time, too.
So my dark origin story is at the age of, like, too old to have fallen for this, got updogged by Matt and Freddy. Like,
this was great.
D's Nuts is at least, like, more modern, but, like, you guys updogged me at, like, 27 years old, and I was, like, so mad. I was, for years, I was like, someday, somehow, I will updog Matt and Freddy, like, and I'll be able to do it to them, and I've tried a couple times. The only thing more embarrassing than getting updogged or D's Nuts or whatever is trying and failing to updog your friend. It's the
like
worst.
Literally, I can't speak for being on the receiving end because I've always enjoyed it. But like a couple of weeks ago when we were recording the one episode and I like stuttered while trying to do the D's Nuts like variant, I didn't recover for the rest of the record. I was so embarrassed and humiliated. I drove home like, fuck.
There's only one way to recover, and that is to sling it yourself. You know what I mean? Dish it out. Get ready.
Just normal playground rules when you get bullied, which is just pretend it doesn't hurt and then go cry about it at home later.
Boom.
Yeah. This is one that I can answer real quick. Jude asks, I'm currently re-listening to the Uncut Trial episodes. I must know, is the Escape from Entourage Hell stretch happening? I need it in my life. Yes, that is our next stretch goal. Now that we've done the Star Wars one, the next one on our list is to do the Entourage Alternate Reality stretch goal where we
and
see
what even worse IP.
This is the first time I'll say I have no faith in our podcast, but I'm excited to do this. I'm so worried about this one.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure it's going to be funny.
Entourage is a show I've seen one episode of, and I was like in the other room, and I'm wondering, should I watch it before we do it or should I just like
come in with just your
I'm still sincerely thinking about playing Turtle and then treating him like a Pokemon and doing the whole one as just saying Turtle.
I'm so confused if it's the dads and the dads think they're the characters from Entourage or if we're
listen,
just
listen, if it's not good, it'll be short. That's what it is, I promise you. If it's not good, it's short.
We'll need to do another stretch goal immediately after. Well, yeah, we are just going to do it's a one shot. We're not doing like
it's not Gungans and Daddy.
No, it's not going to be a miniseries.
Goofy little dumb work.
Yeah. I would like to do more of a like a horror thing again. Yeah.
A lot of people like that Victorian idea. We either got to just come up with another DM or.
We should try that.
I'll DM. I feel like I could take a crack at it unless
you you'd be a good DM. The only thing is like I also just feel like you would so fucking live in it as a character that I'd be sad that you're DMing it.
Or like a Mary Shelley Victorian like romance, but horror. I'm in love with Frankenstein.
That's the name of the arc. It's called
I'm in love with Frankenstein.
Oops, I married Frankenstein.
Mad Croons asks, if this campaign was adapted for a visual medium, would you rather see it as a live-action film, animated film, graphic novel, or TV show?
Animated TV show for me.
Realistically, yes, but also live-action film so that I could act in it and then put makeup on me and have a mustache.
The premise for this show actually ends up being a perfect Super Bowl commercial-length live-action thing. Like, the idea of like if it's a Super Bowl commercial for like a minivan.
Okay.
Like you could see it, right? You could see it. It's like a commercial.
That's not the whole arc though, but yeah.
But like to me, in the live action front, that's as far as I can take it.
Contrived Super Bowl commercial is my preferred visual medium.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, in all honesty, like if the podcast got big enough that they were like, they did a Dungeons and Daddies Super Bowl ad, that's all I need. I don't need four seasons of an animated show.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't need a movie.
It comes and goes.
Like 20 years from now, they do a Dungeons and Daddies themed Honda Odyssey ad at the Super Bowl and you get a bunch of big celebrities to play the fucking dads. That's it. That's all I need.
I don't know what it is. I feel like you can have like one lie. Like that was the thing was like the problem with Cowboys and Aliens is like you can't have two genres like that. It's like a tough thing to do. I feel like animation gives you one extra lie. This why it's really hard to do like sci-fi comedy. Like a few people like Galaxy Quest is probably like the
best.
Well,
there's only
one
lie in Dungeons and Daddies is that there's another row.
I think fantasy is always hard in live action. Like a few people make it look good. That doesn't just look like LARPing or whatever. And then it's just like the moment you do fantasy comedy, it's like I just can't ever see
it. Because you're going in the world of like what? Like
Gallivant is like a
Black Knight,
musical
like,
or or like yeah, like
Monty all of those ones.
Monty Python, oh, what's that?
Yeah, but it's like yeah. not sincere. That's but they're yeah. not but like
recently. I'm trying to think of. There's that one with Olivia Wilde that was like not great. Or,
Your Highness.
Yeah, Your Highness. That's right, Natalie Portman. Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough territory.
None of you have seen Deathstalker 2.
Was that comedy?
Deathstalker 2 is good.
That's why you cannot see the glorious live action.
No, you're right. You're right. Deathstalker 2 is good.
Deathstalker 2, or again, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Or no, Men in Tights.
Men in Tights,
which
yeah.
I guess is technically not fantasy, but if a fucking wizard showed up.
I mean, also
just
pure parody is my point. Though.
No, but Deathstalker 2. Deathstalker 2. Jim Wynorski, go watch it.
Is it a comedy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Deathstalker 1 is not.
No.
Yes, Deathstalker 1 is a straight-ahead shitty Conan the Barbarian movie, and then Roger Corman hired the two biggest goofballs in the entertainment industry to make the second one, and then they were going to make a serious movie, and then they went down to Argentina, and their shoot got rained out for a week, and then the director, Jim Wynorski, and the star, John Terlecki, were just hanging out in their hotel, and were like, do you want to just rewrite this whole movie and make it like a goofy road movie? And they're like, all right, let's
do
it.
So do they have like generational trauma and like serious scenes in it and stuff?
I mean, no, but you
know. That's my only concern. I mean, not say you can't do it. Anyways, yeah, for me, it's the cartoon.
I don't really like when animated is like super serious. So it's like, I'm one of those sick, twisted people that loved BoJack Horseman until the fourth season. Mm-hmm. And
I'm with you on that. The show got a little maudlin for
there's,
me.
Yeah, there's something it's like the, and this is a me thing, not even a really good opinion, but like, I didn't sign up for this. So when I was watching that one, Invincible, that show
Amazon.
Yeah, so it's like, I watched like the pilot of that and I was like, this is just serious. I didn't sign up for this.
There's only one aesthetic that's going to work for this, and that's VeggieTales low res CG.
Yes.
Looking like a PS3 video game.
Yes. We need to do food fight.
Straight up like perfect spheres and oblong like shapes, dude.
Either that or just fucking straight up anime. An anime of this would be fantastic. I don't know if I want to see a Western style anime.
Yeah, I know what I've turned it around. You all convinced me.
Well, yeah, because then anime like can veer tonally from very silly to like, again, Dragon Ball have silly moments and then hardcore violence and like intense emotional drama. And like, you would want to have something that has the ability to do all that.
And the tropes contextualize what you're supposed to be feeling and stuff like that in a way that I think would actually lend itself well to this show.
How about Last Airbender, though, style?
The live action Last Airbender? Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
yes, exactly.
Almost every cartoon that people have liked recently that also gets serious, I just never could get into them. Like Adventure Time or Venture Brothers or BoJack Horseman. I'm
you
always
like Venture
like,
Brothers?
No. I could not get Venture Brothers as oil on water. I'm like, this show is unbearable. I do not like
that's
this
how I felt about
all.
Steven Universe.
There's a subgenre of those animations that's actually really tough for me to get into, which is they have to take on the considerations of network TV, which is they aren't serialized. So it's like Steven Universe, especially I think the early seasons where it was like, oh, it was a big long season. I'm like, oh, it's all just a bunch of incidental episodes. And I was like, oh, okay. I thought it was more of a serialized thing. And it kind of is, but it kind of has to do both, you know?
Yeah.
It can't be too serialized because it's supposed to be, you know, for kids. Mm-hmm. So those are always tough for me to wrap my head around. Well, I'm looking forward to our next episode, which we're recording later on this week. We should probably meet and discuss what we think we should try and accomplish on this one at some point. Right, guys?
Right.
Maybe we'll do that after the live listen or during the live listen.
Oh, wow.
This is the first time we're going to have a live listen. We're all in the same
live.
Room.
Live. A live listen live.
Yeah. Anyone have anything to get off their chest about Anthony? Because he's not going to listen to this.
I love him. And I think he's like one of the most wonderful friends. But also like, I don't know, his brain is like fucked up good. And he's got a great creative sense.
How long do you think his butt hair is right now?
I think it's let me think. Okay, sorry, I need to actually use my fingers,
use your fingers
just to measure. I'm not touching anything. I'm
just
looking at my fingers
out.
In
measure
space.
Picture ZZ Top.
I think.
Beth, don't do that. I can visualize it now. You're doing that.
I think it's probably like a centimeter and a half.
And on that bombshell,
I'll take us out. I think that Anthony's butt hair is currently a centimeter and a half long.
Oh, we should all put like bets in and then he'll have to answer the
question.
In the regrowth process.
I like how if we make a bet, Anthony has to tell us. That's
Anthony, you have to tell us.
We made a bet.
It's
personal, but we made a bet about it now, so we have to tell us.